Happy, happy, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers around the world watching in, tuning in today. God bless you. This is Pastor Brian along with Pastor Laura of Chapel of Change. And we want to say a big, 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 gigantic, and in the words of my son Nathaniel, ginormous happy Mother's Day to you. God bless you. We want to again welcome everybody to our Sunday worship experience. We pray that you are safe. We pray that you are protected. We pray that you are growing in the Lord. Wherever you're watching at today, may the Lord shine his face on you. Do me a favor and hit share. If you're watching from Facebook this morning, go ahead and hit share. Want to send a special shout out to all the mothers across our various campuses and location. The mothers of our Long Beach location, Sister Loretta and all the crew over there, God bless you. The mothers at our Carson campus over there, God bless you. The mothers at our Whittier campus, God bless you. All the mothers at our Paramount campus, God bless you. And the mothers of our Merced campus, God bless you. And the new mothers tuning in from our online campus, God bless you. God bless you. We are excited that you are with us this morning. Want to encourage you to get your Bibles out today. Get your Bibles out today. We're going to turn to the book of Jeremiah. I have something to lay at your feet this morning. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I want to let you know that we have a special Mother's Day blessing today. And we're going to give it out at our Carson campus at 1 p.m. It's going to be like a drive-through blessing where we're going to anoint your car with oil. We're going to pronounce a blessing over you, and we're going to give you a rose in the name of Jesus. That's today at 1 p.m. at our Carson campus. You can get the address online at our website, chapelofchange.org. So we're worshiping today. We're worshiping today, we're studying the Bible today, we're praying today, and afterwards, we are going to give an offering unto the Lord. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. If you're able, wherever you're at, tuning in, let's stand to our feet for the reading of God's Word. If you're able, I want to encourage you to stand to your feet. Some time ago, the Lord put it upon my heart to teach our generation to honor the Lord more. And I felt that in my spirit, because we have a lot of new Christians at Chapel of Change, not a lot of new Christians tuning in. And the Lord kind of put it upon my heart that he goes where he's honored. The Lord goes where he's welcomed. The Lord goes where he's valued. And we want to honor the Lord in our spaces and places in order to receive his presence and his power. So wherever you're at, if you're able, let's stand to our feet in the honor of God's word. All the youth of change that are tuning in, stand to your feet right now. Let's stand to our feet. And I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, and the word of the Lord reads like this. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, this is Jeremiah's response to God, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Verses 8. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we open up your word this morning to eat. We pray that you feed us joy, feed us understanding, wisdom, feed us faith and strength in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We are on our second week of our study, Slaying Insecurity. And I ain't going to talk to you long today, but I do have some spiritual nuggets that I want to give you to help you begin to slay insecurity when it comes knocking at your door. For the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to take a deep dive into the words of God that he gave Jeremiah. And we need to understand that Jeremiah was a prophet that God called to speak to his people in the Old Testament. At this particular time, the nation of Israel or Judah was disobeying God. They were not doing what God called them to do, and they were about to be judged. The nation was about to be judged. And so God called Jeremiah to speak to his people and to let them know that they are about to be judged, but at the end, they're going to be all right. They're going to go through some things. They're going to feel some pain. They're going to go through some affliction, but at the end of their season of judgment, they are going to be okay. And God sends Jeremiah or calls Jeremiah to fulfill this task, to fulfill this assignment. And guess what? Our brother Jeremiah didn't want to do what God called him to do. Our brother Jeremiah did not want to fulfill his assignment in his life. Our brother Jeremiah did not want to fulfill God's assignment for his life. And I wonder, if there's anyone out there listening to me today that you're running from God or you're using an excuse not to fulfill your assignment. I wonder if there's anyone out here that felt like Jeremiah that you could not do what God is calling you to do. The reason why Jeremiah didn't want to do what God called him to do was because of insecurity. He felt unqualified. He felt too young. He felt like he didn't have the credentials. He felt unqualified. He felt too young. He felt like he didn't have the credentials. We see insecurity popping up in his response to the call of God in verse 6. Listen to how Jeremiah responds to the call of God in verse 6. He says, "Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." Does anybody spot insecurity in that? Does anybody notice insecurity trying to pop its head up in the life of Jeremiah and choke out his destiny, choke out his future, choke out this awesome responsibility that God has placed upon his life? Basically, Jeremiah was saying that he was incomplete for the task. Basically, Jeremiah was saying that he lacked what it took, or he wasn't good enough to do what God called him to do. This is what Jeremiah was saying. He was basically saying he wasn't good enough to do what God called him to do. He was saying that he didn't have what it took. He didn't have what it takes. He was saying that you know, he was insecure. He was insecure. And if this insecurity wasn't slayed in Jeremiah's life, Jeremiah would have missed out on the opportunity that God gave him. If Jeremiah didn't eventually rise up and slay the insecurity that knocked on his door, he would not have done what God had called him to do, and we would not be talking about him today. If Jeremiah didn't slay the insecurity, he would have been paralyzed, and he would have not done what God had called him to do. Now, last week, when we introduced this study to you, we learned that everybody has to wrestle with insecurity. We learned that everybody wrestles with insecurity. If you didn't listen to the teaching last week, go to YouTube, Chapel Change TV, catch up on our study, because we're taking a journey and I need you to follow along. But we learned that Adam and Eve wrestled with insecurity. We learned that Moses wrestled with insecurity. We learned that Gideon wrestled with insecurity. We learned that Apostle Peter wrestled with insecurity. No one, my beloved, no one gets a pass when it comes to insecurity. Because if you ever lift up your hand to do what God has called you to do, you're going to have to wrestle with insecurity too. You are not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. Now, what is insecurity? What is insecurity? Insecurity is the lie that you are incomplete. It is the lie that you're incomplete. Insecurity is the lie that you lack what it takes. You lack what it takes. Insecurity is the lie that you're not good enough. I want you to catch this. Insecurity is the lie that you are incomplete. Insecurity is the lie that you lack what it takes. Insecurity is the lie that you're not good enough. Insecurity is a lie. It is the voice of a lie. Do you remember Adam and Eve in the garden? Do you remember the garden and Adam and Eve? Do you know why they tried to put fig leaves on them? Do you know why they reached out for fig leaves? Because they were bowing down into insecurity. They believed the lie that they were not good enough. They believed the lie that they did not have what it took to do what God called them to do. So they begin to reach out for something else. They begin to reach out for things that are outside of the will of God. To a huge degree, the world is broken today because someone bowed down to insecurity. Whenever you live in the spirit of insecurity, you're going to reach outside of the will of God for you and try to put something on your life or bring something into your life that you think is going to make you whole, but it's not. It's not. Some of us are not fulfilling our divine assignment today because we are bowing down to insecurity. Slaying insecurity is critical, friend. It's critical, my brother. It's critical, my sister. You know why? Because insecurity is a saboteur. Insecurity is a saboteur. It will sabotage your relationships. Insecurity, if left unchecked, will sabotage your destiny. It will sabotage your joy. It will sabotage God's great plans for your life. If left unchecked, insecurity will emotionally paralyze you, and you will never get up to fulfill your destiny. If you're in ministry, insecurity can disqualify you because you're going to feel intimidated by everybody. You're going to be afraid of everybody. You're going to think somebody's coming to get your position or to get your anointing, and you're going to do some things that disqualify you because you bow down to insecurity. It's critical. Slaying insecurity is critical. Some of us, again, are not fulfilling our responsibilities or our divine assignment because of insecurity. It's time that we start to fight back. It's time that we begin to pull out the sword of the Spirit. It's time that we begin to slay insecurity. It's time that we begin to get resolute in our spirit and we say, I'm not putting up with it no more. I'm not going to massage it anymore. I'm not going to counsel it out of my life. I'm going to slay it out of my life. Now we're learning that the key to insecurity is learning to boast in the cross of Jesus. This is what we're learning. And I want to make sure you catch this. I'm not rushing through this because one of the main demons that we wrestle with, particularly at Chapel of Change, is the spirit of insecurity. So I'm not here to give you a bunch of information. I really need you to be transformed. I need you to get a nugget that will help transform you. So I'm not rushing this. I'm going to repeat myself regularly, intentionally, because I need you delivered. God has a plan for your life. And even more so, God needs you delivered because he needs to fulfill his plan through your life. And so we learned that the key to slaying insecurity is boasting in the cross of Jesus. We learn that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Apostle Paul says, he boasts in the cross of Jesus. Now, I want to clarify this because I've been looking at your guys' Facebook posts this last week, and some of y'all misunderstood what I meant when I say boasting in the cross. And I appreciate your enthusiasm and your learning, but some of y'all misunderstood. When Paul says in this context about boasting, when he uses that word boasting, he's not talking about bragging.
He's not talking about brag. We, in our American kind of context, in the script in our mind, when we look at that word boast, we automatically think of bragging. And I always applied bragging to this verse for many years, and it just never settled in my heart. Like, I didn't understand. Why would he say he's bragging in the death of Jesus? Why would he say he's bragging in the cross of Jesus? It didn't really just settle in my spirit, because in this context, he's not exclusively talking about bragging as we think bragging is in America. The type of boasting that Paul was describing was descriptive of how one gained their confidence to engage life. This boasting, this term that Paul used of boasting, was a military kind of exercise that generals use to infuse confidence in their soldiers to charge the enemy in the battle. Like, how would soldiers gain the confidence to charge the enemy in battle, knowing that most of them are going to die, knowing that many of them are going to die in battle, yet they charge the enemy anyways? How were they able to do that? Well, the general would give a boast. He would give a boast. And through the boast, the soldiers would be convinced that they had the confidence and they have the, that they had the power to overcome the enemy. And through the boast, they would gather their confidence and they would charge the enemy. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? They would charge the enemy. Now, Paul, in this context, when he talks about the cross is the act of divine accomplishment. It is the act of divine accomplishment. Jesus didn't just die on the cross, but his death accomplished for us our great salvation. So when Paul says, I boast in the cross, he's not merely talking about I'm boasting in the death of Jesus. What he's referring to is he's boasting in what the death of Jesus accomplished for us, i.e. our great salvation and redemption. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Apostle Paul was saying that he gathered his confidence to attack the enemy and to engage life, not through anything that he did, but through what Jesus did on the cross. And let me remind you, beloved, that on the cross and through his death, Jesus secured for us our new identity. He secured for us our salvation, our healing, our deliverance, our freedom, our wholeness. That word salvation does not just mean to go to heaven. It does not mean just to go to heaven, but that word salvation includes our healing, our wholeness, our redemption. It includes everything that we need for life and godliness, and particularly our new identity as kingdom citizens. Now, this is what I want you to get. As we boast in the cross, we take on our new identity. And thus, we begin to slay insecurity. We're talking about slaying insecurity, friends. We're talking about slaying insecurity, not putting up with it anymore, slaying it. How do we begin to slay it? Listen, as we boast in the cross, we take on our new identity and thus begin to slay insecurity. As we claim and take possession of all that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, we begin to rise up in our new identity, and in doing that, we begin to slay insecurity. So last week, our memory verse was Colossians, and we learned that we are complete in Christ. That was our memory verse. God made us complete in Christ. So every time I get tempted with insecurity and I stand up against it by claiming the word of God, laying hold of the word of God, laying hold of the promise and the accomplishment of Jesus. And when insecurity hits my life and I say, no, I'm not bowing down to that, because Jesus has made me complete. Jesus has made me complete. I'm complete in Christ. What am I doing? I'm laying hold of what Jesus has accomplished for me. What am I doing? I'm boasting in the cross, and I'm gathering my confidence from Jesus, and I'm charging the enemy in my new identity. That's how we boast in the cross. It's time to fight back. It's time to pull out our spiritual sword. It's time to push the enemy back. Too many Christians live their life on the defense. It's time that we put the enemy on his heels. Too many Christians walking around as Christian pinatas, just allowing the enemy just to hit them anytime. No, I'm telling you, the enemy will think twice on attacking you if you learn to attack him. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but it's time for you to get on the offense. And the way that you get on the offense is by learning to boast in the cross of Jesus. Back to Jeremiah. In the next couple weeks, I'm going to be pulling declarations of faith from the passage of Jeremiah. I'm going to be pulling declarations of faith out of what God told Jeremiah when Jeremiah was tempted to bow down to insecurity. When the devil attacks you with insecurity, and he's going to attack you with insecurity. He's going to attack you this week. I'm letting you know that. He's going to attack you this week with insecurity. When he attacks you with insecurity, I want you to pull out the declarations that I'm going to teach you in these next couple weeks, and I want you to begin to lay hold of these declarations. I want you to take possession of these declarations. I want you to look at these declarations as your spiritual sword that you're going to begin to slay the enemy with. And let me tell you something. The more you begin to pull out your spiritual sword, the more the devil's going to think twice before he knocks on your door. And I'm not going to give you a lot of declarations each time we meet. I'm only going to give you probably one, maybe two. Today I'm only giving you one because I don't want to just sit up here and give you a lot of information. I need to get you something for transformation. So let me give you our first declaration, and I'm going to expound upon it, and then I'm going to pray over you, and we're going to put this thing to work. I need you to exercise this. It only works if you work it. It doesn't work if you just keep it in your head. It doesn't work if you just keep it in your head. It only works if you work it. So let me give you declaration number one. You ready for this? You ready? You ready? Make sure you write down your notes. Declaration number one. I am formed by God. Come on, someone say that with me. I am formed by God. Come on, say it again. Say it again. I am formed by God. God, this is your declaration. This is your spiritual sword that you need to take out every time the enemy tries to attack you with insecurity. You need to put that dude on his heels by pulling this declaration out and beginning to use it. I am formed by God. Come on, say it again. We got to exercise this. I am formed by God. Now, where do I get this from? I get it from verse 5. Remember, Jeremiah just responded to God in insecurity. Try to give him an excuse why he couldn't do what he called him to do. Notice the first thing that God tells Jeremiah in verse 5. He says, I formed you. I formed you. This word formed means fashioned and framed. Fashioned and framed. Did anybody know that God is into fashion? You serve a God of fashion. God fashioned you. You are God's fashion design. God framed everything about you. Apostle Paul testified about this like this in Ephesians 2:10. He said, you are God's masterpiece. He said, you are God's masterpiece. You listening to me right now, you in the living room, you are God's masterpiece. You watching in the kitchen, you are God's masterpiece. You watching over your phone, listen, you need to get this. You are God's masterpiece. God formed you. God fashioned you. God framed you. He framed everything about you. He formed everything about you. And before you start giving him all your excuses about you can't do this and you can't go there and you can't get that degree or you can't fulfill that goal or you can't get that dream, you need to get this. God formed you. You gotta get that. You are God's masterpiece. So stop trying to modify yourself and instead start embracing yourself. Because the more you try to be like Adam and Eve and grab on to something outside of the will of God and modify yourself, instead of trying to embrace yourself, you're going to try to turn yourself into somebody else. Ooh, that rhymed right there. Y'all better write that down because I forgot what I said. Stop trying to modify yourself. Now, if you don't understand God formed you, you'll waste a lot of time trying to be like someone you're not. If you don't understand that God formed you, you'll waste a lot of time trying to look like someone you're not. If you don't understand, if you don't get the revelation that God formed you, you'll waste a lot of time, beloved. The psalmist testified in Psalms 139, verse 14. He says, I will praise you, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's going to be our memory verse. I will praise you, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, let me take you a little deeper. I hope you brought enough oxygen, okay? I'm going to take you a little deeper. I need you to get this revelation from the reality that God formed you. I need you to get this revelation. God uses every situation in your life to form fit you for the opportunities he gives you. I need you to get that. God uses every situation, every predicament, every circumstance. That's why you never waste a situation. God uses every situation in your life to form fit you for the opportunities he gives you. Jeremiah, in this passage of scripture, questioned that he was able to fulfill God's assignment. And you know how God responded? God said, listen, son, I formed you. You say you can't do what I told you to do, but you got to get. I formed you. You are formed, fitted for every opportunity that God brings upon your life. If it knocks upon your door, that opportunity, then you are formed, fitted to walk through that door. God formed you. Now, specifically, I want to zero in on your past pain and your past hurts. This is going to be deep. You better make sure you have some oxygen. God used your past to form you into the person who could handle your present. God used your past, everything you've gone through, every tear that you shed, every heartbreak, every bad day, every time you felt abandoned, every time you felt lonely, every time you felt rejected, God used your past to form you into the person who could handle your present. You got to get this, beloved. You got to get this. Because all along, the devil's trying to hold you down because of your past, while God is trying to speed you up as a result of your past. God used your past to form you into the person who could handle your present. Now, God didn't cause your past hurts, but he used them for your good to form you into the person you are today. God didn't cause the mistake that you made, but he used it as a tool to form you into a stronger person. God didn't cause that heartache to happen in your life, but he used it to make you a person that values friendships more. God didn't cause you to be fired 6 months ago, but he's using that situation to teach you a lesson and to make you a stronger person. If you don't get this revelation, because this is the advantage that we have as believers. If you don't get this revelation, you'll use your past to disqualify yourself when all along God uses it to qualify you for your future. If you don't get this revelation, get this. You'll use your past as a disqualifier when your past actually qualifies you for your present. If you are in Christ Jesus, beloved, your past does not disqualify you. In actuality, because of the anointing of God, the call of God upon your life, your past actually qualifies you for your destiny. And if you don't get this, you'll waste a lot of time being bitter about what happened to you in the past instead of allowing it to make you better. If you don't get this, You'll spend years being bitter about what she did to you. You'll spend years being bitter about what he did to you. And many people mistakenly think God can't use me because I failed too many times. Many people mistakenly think God can't use me because I had a divorce. God can't use me because I have a disability. Somebody better ask the sister Rahab in the Bible. Somebody better go back to Joshua and interview Sister Rahab, who was a harlot and a prostitute, yet God used her to save his people. And then when you go all the way to the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11, and when it goes talks about the heroes of faith, somebody better go read about Rahab, how it tells the story of this harlot who was used by God. And then it goes on to say that the scripture don't have enough time to talk about David and Samson, but it did have enough time to talk about Rahab, because God wanted you to know that he could use anybody at any time if you would just yield to his will. God says, I taught you some things in that divorce that make you a valuable person today. That's what God says. God says, I didn't cause the divorce, but I used the divorce to make you a better person. I formed you in it. I formed you in it. You would not be the person you are today if you didn't go through it. God says, I taught you some things in that failure that you would have you wouldn't have learned in success. That's what God's telling you. I taught you some things in that failure that success would have never taught you about. I didn't cause it, but I used it. 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 Listen, beloved, you're disadvantaged, placed in the hands of God becomes your advantage. Your disadvantage placed in the hands of God becomes your advantage. Stop using your past as an excuse not to step into your destiny. Your past qualifies you to step into your destiny in the eyes of God. Stop using your past as an excuse. Stop using it. Now, I want to talk to those specifically that have been journeying with us at Chapel of Change. I want to talk to you specifically. Listen. Listen, my sister. Listen, my brother. Listen. I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm sorry that happened to you when you were little. I'm sorry that person broke your heart. I'm sorry that person took advantage of you. It should not have happened. It is not your fault. I'm sorry that it happened to you. But I want to let you know, in love, it's time for us, Chapel of Change, to get over the bitterness of our past and accept the reality that God uses our past to develop us into the person to take on our future. You couldn't handle what you're handling today if you didn't get through what you got through the other day. God is saying it's time to get over the bitterness of the past. The devil may have tried to use it to stop you, beloved, but God is using it to form you. He's using it to form you. He's using it to form you. So it's time, Chapel of Change, my brothers, my sisters, it's time. It's time. If you've been journeying with us for several years, I've been preaching on this subject over and over again. It's time. It's time to just trip the devil out and say, devil, I'm not going to use my past no more to hinder me. In fact, I'm going to use my past as fuel. You done messed up by hurting me, because now my past is going to be my opportunity for my destiny. And he's going to regret the day that he hurt you if you ever adopt that perspective. I want to introduce you to one of my friends, David. David goes to our church, and David was born deaf and without hearing. He was born deaf and without hearing at a time when parents would abandon babies who could not hear and who could not speak. And for 10 years, David could not speak and he could not hear. For 10 years, he could not speak and he could not hear. When he came to the age of awareness, which I believe is just when he came to the age of awareness, I thoroughly believe he looked around him and he said, you know what? I may have been born into this bad situation, into this hard situation, but I'm not going to let my past hold me down. And I'm not going to spend the rest of my life being bitter about what happened to me. And David actually taught himself how to speak, And today he serves in our church. And not only that, he is an inspiration. He is a story of perseverance. And he's a story of fresh hope that the world needs to hear about. Because so many of us are giving up over things that we could rise above. Not David. By the grace of God, by the power of God, I'm not going to let my past hold me down in bitterness. And that brother has a more beautiful smile than many, many people I know. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 2 says, this is the word of the Lord, your maker, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So, beloved, we need to start declaring and laying hold of what Jesus has done for us and what God says about us. I am formed by God. I am formed by God. I am formed by God. Every time the enemy comes against you with insecurity, you got to speak this out. You got to lay claim to this. You got to stand on this. You got to pull out your spiritual sword and you got to say from your heart, I am formed by God. I'm convinced, beloved, I'm convinced that all that has happened to me in my life, and I've been through some painful situations. My brother was murdered at the age of 15 years old. I was shot at the age of 14 years old. Did many, many years alone in a prison cell. Did 16 years in prison. Felt abandoned. Felt rejected. Felt isolated. Didn't see the sun for months. I've been through some terrible, terrible situations. But I am thoroughly convinced that all that I've gone through in my past has prepared me to be the person I am today. I'm convinced that all that I've been through in my past prepares me to handle what I do today. God knew that I would be pastoring Chapel of Change. God knew this. God knew that I would be pastoring Chapel of Change. And let me tell you, in the last 7 years, we have had the opportunity to sit with people that have experienced tremendous pain, tremendous hurt. And we, by the grace of God, have been able to sit with them and pray with them and not run from the situation, but run into the situation. How is that? How is that able to happen? It's because God formed me for this. God formed me for this. God formed me for this. God formed me. The Bible talks about being formed in the furnace of affliction. Now I understand. Now I understand why I went through what I went through. I understand now. I didn't understand it then, but I understand now. I was formed for this. I was formed. Not too long ago, last year, I believe, my pastor, Pastor Larry Wachemeyer, he called me up and he said, Brian, I'm scheduled to speak at this national conference and I'm scheduled to be on this panel, but I can't make it. And I'm calling to see if you're able to tune in. Can you fill in for me on this panel? And out of excitement, I just said, yes, I'll do it. So he gave me the information and I went to the church that the panel was going to be speak on. I'm going to show you this picture right here. And soon as I stepped on the backstage, insecurity hit me. Because I read in the notes of the panel that I'm going to be sitting with scholars. I'm going to be sitting with superintendents. I'm going to be sitting with people that have written books. I'm going to be sitting with national leaders. And then I began to think, I said, oh my goodness, Pastor Larry, he graduated from Azusa Pacific many years ago. They labeled him as one of the most influential graduates of Azusa Pacific. And here I am kind of stepping into his shoes. And I didn't realize what was happening until that moment. And all of a sudden, insecurity began to hit me backstage. Insecurity began to attack me. Brian, what are you going to do on that stage? What are you going to say? How are you going to speak with scholars and superintendents? And I had to boast in the cross. I had to boast. I had to declare what God said over me. I had to lay hold of the promises of God. I'm formed by God. I'm formed by God. I am formed for this moment. And I am formed for this situation. If God is allowing this opportunity to happen in my life, then I am formed with it. And I'm formed for it. And I'm going to step into it in the power of the Holy Ghost. And all along, I'm nervous. I step onto that stage and I'm sitting down. My wife was in the front row, and I'm smiling like I know what I'm doing. And inside, I'm hoping, like, please don't ask me a question. But I'm smiling because I knew that I was formed for that moment. And let me tell you this. When it came time for them to turn around and they asked me a question, I opened up my mouth, beloved, and let me tell you, the Holy Spirit took over and began to speak through me on that subject and anoint my words that, man, I sounded like I belonged there. I sounded like I belonged there. And guess what? I did belong there. You know why? Because God formed me for that moment. God formed me for that moment. And just like you, beloved, we're going to slay insecurity, and every time it comes knocking on our door, God formed me. God formed me. I am formed by God. I have a memory verse for you this week that I want to give you, and this memory verse is out of Psalms 139, verse 14. I want you to memorize this verse because this is one of the verses that you're going to be pulling out when the enemy comes to attack you with insecurity. Psalms 139, verse 14 says, I will praise you, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I will praise you, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's time to fight back. It's time to pull out the sword. It's time to slay insecurity in the name of Jesus. I want you to memorize this verse. I want you to write it down. I want you to take it with you all this week. I want you to post it on Facebook 100 times this week. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, because we're going to rise up in the power of God. Let us bow our heads this morning. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for anybody who's struggling with insecurity, that you get this revelation and you get the strength to fight. So let us bow our heads as I begin to pray for you this morning. And do me a favor, if you're able to lift up your hands toward the monitor, lift up your hands toward the monitor as just an act of faith, a sign of faith. Lift up your hands toward the monitor as I pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters taking this journey with us. Lord, I thank you that you formed us. I thank you that you formed us, Lord. You formed us. And we will declare that I am formed by God. I am formed by God. And Father, I pray for everybody listening this morning. I pray that they rise up in the power of your written word and your spoken word. I pray that they rise up in the power of your Holy Ghost. I pray that, Lord God, they begin to boast in the cross. They begin to boast in the cross. They begin to gather their confidence from what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that insecurity is not going to have no space in our life anymore. We declare that we're not going to be held down by insecurity no more. We're breaking free. We're breaking free. We're going to pull out our sword. We're going to slay it. We're going to slay it every time it comes into our life. I am formed by God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Come on, say that with me one more time. I am formed by God. I am formed by God. Come on. I am formed by God. This is your exercise. I am formed by God. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. We are